Romans 15:33. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. I think you're going to figure out what the title of the message is by the time we read these five verses. Romans 15, verse number 33. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Chapter 16, same book. Verse number 20. Chapter 16 of the book of Romans, same book. Verse 20. Now the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Now, if you'll turn to Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. Just a few books to your right in your Bible. Philippians chapter 4. And if you will, look at verse number 9. Philippians 4, verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians, just a couple books. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. And if you will, look at verse number 23. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, the big book of Hebrews. So turn several books to your right. You'll find Hebrews chapter 13, and we'll find verse number 20. Hebrews 13, verse number 20. Hebrews 13:20, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. So we read these words in Romans, now the God of peace be with you all, amen. And again in Romans, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. And then we read this in Philippians, those things which ye have heard and learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And then Hebrews 11:20, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus. I want to preach on this subject this morning. The God of peace, the God of peace. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, that you would help us. Lord, I want to point folks to you this morning. I want them to be aware of what's available, dear God, through you. What's available to us when we come into your presence. Thank you for this wonderful fruit of the Spirit. We ask, dear God, that you would help us to have in our day-to-day lives, that peace that passeth all understanding. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. So many people today are plagued by inner turmoil. And it seems like that the quest for inner peace has driven people into all types of things, all sorts of odd beliefs, and even into some self-destructive addictions. I couldn't help but wonder what the world's advice would be. What would the world's advice be to someone who was searching and longing for inner peace? Can you imagine all the different opinions you could get out there? I wondered, what would the world's advice be? So I did what we all did. I Googled it. All right, the secret to inner peace. All of these articles popped up. And so I chose one of them and double-clicked on it. And there was the 10 things that you can do to secure inner peace. I thought, finally, I found it. Here it is. Number one, breathe deeply. That's what they got. So I did. You know, hey, I'm going to try it. So I sat at my desk, and I just inhaled. First thing. Number two, play with your pet. Now, I'm just giving you what the world's got for you here, okay? you're lacking inner peace. They don't have the same pet we've got. I'll tell you. I was writing an article on how to have inner frustration. I would say, go spend time with my dog, but play with your pet. I didn't go try that. I've tried it before. So number three, this is what they've got for you. I'm giving you the goods this morning. Love yourself. So, I mean, I did the deep breathing, so. I love you, man. I love you. Followed by number four, be true to yourself. That's how you have inner peace. Now, let me tell you what that really means. Be true to yourself means if you believe something, you be true to it. Even if it's stupid, even if you're totally wrong, just be true. Now, come on, I'm telling you what the world has for you. It doesn't matter if the whole rest of the world's saying you're wrong, you just be true to yourself. Well, you ever think you just might be wrong? Then they said this. I like this one. What an easy piece of advice. Worry less. There you go. I mean, that's all I'm just going to worry less. That's it. Then they had this. Pretend you're a superhero. I had fun with this one. You got to understand, nobody else was in the church, so I had a lot of fun with this one. So. I thought that's why all the millennials are walking around with superhero shirts on, you know. I stopped a guy in Walmart who was behind me the other day, and I looked around. He had a Captain America symbol on his shirt, and I just turned around and said, oh, my, wow. Can I shake your hand? Ooh, heard about you. Wow. Can't wait to tell my wife I met you. I don't think I gave him inner peace. And then number seven, this is awkward. Number seven says frolic. And I wasn't even sure what that meant, so I read the rest of it underneath there. It says, the dictionary describes the word frolic as to behave playfully, uninhibitedly, to jump around and romp. The only problem is at my age, after about 30 seconds of that, I'm laying on the ground going, breathing deeply again. So that didn't really work. Casey, I could have used you right then. I needed a paramedic about that time. And then I like this one, number eight, resist guilt. Now listen to what the world's telling you. Okay, don't pay attention to guilt. Don't consider the guilt. Don't get right about what's making you guilty. Just resist. Now, are you listening to this? You wonder why the world is throwing pills by the handful in their face. You wonder why the world, the only time that they're happy is when they're intoxicated or so high that they check out of reality. Come on, I'm telling you what the world's got to offer you. Folks, we're going to show you a better way. So breathe deeply, play with your pet, love yourself, be true to yourself, worry less, just do that. Pretend you're a superhero, frolic, don't do that, and resist guilt, and then it says, number nine, slow down. And I had fun with this, man. I just said, all right, we're going to do it. I reached for my pencil. Begin to feel it a little bit. I think it was fine till I had to go to the post office. I got in the car. It took me like 12 minutes to go from my parking space just to where we pull out. And then I pulled out on the highway. Listen, that is not the secret to inner peace. Not the way people drive in Greene County. I mean, I looked like a funeral procession before I got down to the line. They're all beeping their horn and yelling at me. I'm like, I'm having inner peace! Number 10, this is it. Thankfully, it's over. Positive affirmations. They give you some suggestions. You're supposed to go over and look in the mirror while you're saying this. I am a winner. I like me. I will succeed today. I am a good person. I don't need a best friend. I am my own best friend. Listen to this one. I will decide my destiny. Well, that's what the world's got to offer, folks. Did you notice that something was completely missing off of that list? And it's completely missing in the hearts of most people in the world. In that list, there is absolutely no mention of God. And yet, five times in the New Testament, God introduces himself with this title, the God of Peace. And so let's look at these five times. I want to show you that each one of them will give you the answer to inner peace. Peace is only found through God because God is the God of peace. Jesus Christ is called the Prince of Peace. And the Holy Spirit, if you look at the fruits of the Spirit, you have love, joy, and then peace. Let's look in, first of all, Romans, back to Romans chapter 15, where we started, verse 33. Here's the secret, the real Bible secret to inner peace. Number one, you can have peace because God will be with you. God will be with you. Verse 33, now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. You know what robs most people of peace? Loneliness robs us of peace. If you ask some people why they're not happy, they will tell you, I just feel so lonely. But you know what? Something happened the day that you received Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you truly are saved, then you know what? God became your Father, and Jesus became your brother, and the Holy Spirit took up residence in your heart. And you know what? Never alone, never alone. You never have to spend another minute of your life alone. I'm so glad that shortly after I got saved, Mrs. Evans, the church's the pastor's wife of the church we got saved in, ushered us into a room to teach a lesson to us young people. And we sat in our semicircle of chairs, and she stood up in front and she said, I want to teach a lesson today on friendship. And I first of all want to know, who is your best friend? And she started here and went around the half circle and pointed to every child, and everybody thought deeply and came up with a name, maybe some school chum that they ate at the cafeteria, or perhaps it was a next door neighbor, or sometimes it was a family member. And she went all the way around the circle, and everybody spoke of somebody. And then when we got done, she looked at us so upset, and I can see the tears forming in her eyes, and she began to shake a little bit, and you could tell she was distraught. And of course, if you're a child, that she's got your attention. And she said, I failed as a teacher. I can't believe I failed as a teacher. I've had you children for all of these months, some of you for years, and I failed as a teacher. Nobody, not one of you mentioned that your best friend was the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? I was probably about 6 years old when she told me that, but there's something inside that clicked in my little freshly born again heart. And that's this. You know what? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether or not people want to be my friend, don't want to be my friend, how many friends I have. I know this. I'll always have one friend, and he can be my very best friend. And I decided from that day on, me and Jesus would just, we just become best friends. I can give you the best advice I can give anybody, and that's this. Listen, if you've got Jesus Christ in your heart, you're never alone. You are never alone. I remember visiting in Chicago in my Bible college days, and sometimes being out late on a Saturday night finishing up our bus route while the sun was going down, the darkness was descending. And if you've never been in inner city Chicago, a transformation takes place when the sun goes down. There's a difference between daytime inner city Chicago and nighttime inner city Chicago. That's why by sunset, most people have gone into their homes and locked the doors, and they're going to get through another night. And here comes a police officer, two of them pulling up beside me as I'm finishing up my visitation. I was a very white person in a very not white area. And one of them hollered over at me and I came over, yes, can I help you? There was a female officer, and she looked at me and she said, what are you doing here? And I said, I'm out visiting for my church. She said, you should not be here by yourself. Come on now. And I looked in that window of that police car and I said, ma'am, I'm not by myself. You know, folks, listen to me. I'm not saying I don't battle with some things. I think we all battle with some things. But I'll tell you something that I don't battle with, and that's loneliness. You know why? Because I have the God of all peace. And every single day, you know what we do? We meet first thing in the morning. Just wish I had a friend that I could meet first thing in the morning. You do if you would. We just kind of meet first thing in the morning. You know what? You know what? I'll listen to him for a while. I just open the Bible, listen to him for a while, and then he'll listen to me for a while. And then you know what we decide? We're just going to spend the day together. And you know what? He's never too busy. He never has an excuse. He never says, well, I'd love to, but you know what? We're kind of tied up right now. We can't really do that. You know what? He's always available, always willing, always ready to be a friend to me that day. I want to tell this to God's people. You are not alone. Listen to me. You are not alone. Stop letting the devil sit on your shoulder and whisper that in your mind and in your heart, because the God of all peace will be with you. And then I like the end of that verse. It says, amen. Turn the page, Romans 16, verse number 20. The secret to inner peace, you can have peace because the God of peace will be with you. Number two, you can have peace because God is stronger than your worst enemy. God is stronger than your worst enemy. Verse number 20, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Now, you do have an enemy, and his desire and his design is to try to destroy your life. He will attack you with temptation. He will attack you with discouragement. He will attack you with your past failures, bringing those things up in your mind. He'll attack us with our present shortcomings, and he'll attack us with the allurement of this present world. And man, he attacks your mind, and then he'll attack your spirit, and he'll attack your emotions, and he'll attack your flesh, and then he'll attack your spouse, and then he'll attack your children. It just seems like we're always under attack. Could I say this, folks? The devil's a bully. He's a bully. 1 John 4:4, though, gives us the secret. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Preacher, it just seems like the devil's tormenting us. It seems like our home's under attack, our marriage is under attack, our children are under attack. My mind, I can't even think right. Listen to me. You can have the peace of God. You can have the peace of God. And you know who will give that to you? The God of all peace. I was thinking in my office, I wanted to come up with an illustration. I struggled with this and finally quieted my heart and began to think back, and God brought this back to my memory. I leaned over on the front row, and Ian was sitting there during the choir special. I leaned over and I said, Ian, wasn't it you that was with me when we were on the Navajo Indian Reservation? And we were visiting in that one neighborhood, and right away he knew what I was talking about. He said, yeah, the one with the bad dogs, you know. I said, yeah, that was you, wasn't it? Yeah. And me and Ian got off the bus. Matter of fact, Brother Ness, I pointed out this neighborhood to him, little group of houses, and I said, do you ever go in there? Have you ever visited those? And he said, well, we try not to go in there too much. There's some ferocious dogs in there. And I thought to myself, ferocious dogs? Come on, you know. And we're thinking of regular American ferocious dogs. There's regular American ferocious dogs. And then there's Navajo Indian Reservation ferocious dogs. And so I said, well, let's give it a try. And we got out, and there were some dogs that immediately kind of came. But I thought, you know what, it won't be a problem. And me and Ian jumped out, and we sent the bus on, and we started walking. And the more we walked, the more dogs came. And the more dogs came. And I mean vicious. I mean, I wouldn't turn my back. I was watching, you know, and he's watching. We're just trying to get to one door to another. And then here come this big, giant, mean, ferocious dog. And it walked right up to us. And it sniffed us a little bit. And I thought, we're going to get eaten. I know what Daniel felt like when he was in the lion's den. This is it. And the biggest, baddest dog on the entire block sniffed at us a little bit, turned around,
start growling at the other dogs, the whole rest of the time we hit that neighborhood, that big monster dog, anytime a dog would get close to us, it would attack him, walked us through that entire neighborhood. That entire neighborhood. And protected us till we got back on the bus. I mean, that was, it was one of those things where you're like, this is not happening, you know. And let me say this, folks. There's a lot of dogs waiting outside the door. And they'd like to tear you up, and they'd like to tear your family up, and they'd like to tear your marriage up. But you know what? We have the biggest, I'm sorry, I don't want to sound sacrilegious, but we've got the biggest, baddest dog on the block. Because when it comes to the supernatural realm, the devil in comparison to God, the devil in comparison to the Lord Jesus Christ is nothing. Nothing. So you know what? We get all fearful, don't we? Isn't it fear that steals our peace sometimes? What are you afraid of? Well, I just don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You mean bad things? Yeah. Well, who brings the bad things? Hey, you got to settle that in your heart one of these days. It's not God that brings the bad things. Who brings the bad things? Well, I happen to have somebody that's a lot greater than that somebody who's really a nobody. And one of these days, the Lord's going to take care of him. Have you read the end of the book? He's going to bind him in chains and cast him into a lake of fire, and that'll be the end of him. What I'm saying is this, folks, you know what? We can have inner peace through our Lord Jesus Christ. Number three, let me take you over to Philippians 4. We're just going to look at these verses this morning. Philippians 4. Verse number 9, I'm trying to bring some biblical first aid to some of your hearts and some of your minds. Stop letting the devil play games with you. You can have inner peace. You can have the peace of God because God will be with you. He's promised never to leave you nor forsake you. You can have the peace of God because he's stronger than your worst enemy. And I'm going to give you this one. Number 3, you can have the peace of God because God has given you a church. You know what I found out? The more people spend away from church, the more they struggle with this matter of inner peace. More people lock into church, the more they get on the victory side of it. Look, if you will, at Philippians 4:9. Those things, how about that? Those things, what things? Which you have both learned. Well, where do you learn this stuff? Oh, Wednesday night, Sunday school. Okay, studying the Bible. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Isn't that interesting? In other words, if you go to the place where they give out the those things, and you come with a learning and a teachable spirit, and you come ready to receive them, and you come with your ears open, ready to hear them, and if you watch around the church house and see people who are an example of these things, and then you decide, I'm going to do those things. If you're put into a situation where you don't know what to do, you lose your peace. You see, the church house helps remove confusion out of your life. Now think about this. Loneliness steals our peace. Satanic attacks steal our peace. Confusion steals our peace. Where do you get clarity? Those things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. If you're put into a situation where you don't know what to do, you can lose your peace. But aren't you glad there's a place where you can come and listen to the Bible taught and hear the Bible preached? And by the way, watch the Bible lived out in other people's lives. And you know what? If you'll go home and take those things, because the Bible doesn't say just to learn them and receive them and hear them and look at them. It finishes by saying, do. See that little word there? Do. And the God of peace shall be with you. So biblical instruction helps you find peace. Learn it. A teachable spirit will help you find peace. You've got to receive it. Okay? Bible preaching will help you find peace, but you got to be here to hear it. Righteous examples will help you find peace. Seen in me. Look around. Listen, I know that we're ultimately supposed to keep our eyes on Jesus, but you know, aren't you glad the Apostle Paul said here, listen, you can learn some things by just watching those whom God has brought into your life to help mentor you and disciple you. An obedient life will help you find peace. Listen, if you'll keep coming to church, I promise you something. If you'll come and you'll learn, and then you'll receive, and you'll come and listen, and you'll come and watch, You'll go home and put it in action. You know what the Bible says? And the God of peace shall be with you. Oh, I've seen the price of people quitting church. Say, preacher, what is the price of quitting church? The price is the peace of God. The price is the peace of God. Show me a backslider who lives with inner peace. No, go find them, bring them. I'll be here in the office most of the week. Bring them on by here. I want to meet them. I want to interview them. I'm not talking about go tell me to go look at their Facebook page. Anybody can build a facade. Listen to me. Show me a backslider who lives with an inner peace. Old brother Lot left Abraham, and you know what he did? He went and moved into Sodom and Gomorrah. But you know what the Apostle Peter wrote through inspiration of Scripture? It says, and delivered just Lot, vexed, that's an amazing word, V-E-X-E-D, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Then parentheses, for that righteous man, he was saved, dwelling among them and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. What I'm talking about is a backslider, not a lost person. If somebody's truly saved, and they go out and try to live in this old wicked world, they will have a vexation of heart and a vexation of spirit, and they will not have the peace of God. Now, if they can go out there and have a party and be happy and all of that, then they're probably not born again. But the Bible says that here was a man that was backslidden. And you know what? He was vexed with their filthy conversation. Hey, do you enjoy that dirty talk? You get a big charge out of that? I mean, when you're texting all that trash back and forth and all those filthy words back and forth, are you telling me you don't even feel anything? Hey, that's why we have an old-fashioned altar in the King James Bible and people trained on how to teach you how to be born again. You're truly saved. You go out there, listen, you know what? Pigs will go back to the pigsty. Dog will go back to the vomit. Won't bother them because they're a dog. But I'm going to tell you something. When you're born again, you become a sheep. Come on. Then all of a sudden that stuff, you know what? I'm not saying you'll never wander back into it, but it'll vex your righteous soul. And what I want to tell you is this. Maybe the reason you don't have inner peace is because you need to come back to the Father. It's a young lady that me and my wife ran into at Walmart. And Thursday mornings is our kind of date morning. And what does that mean? That means that's our day off. We don't take Monday off. We take Thursdays off when we can get it. We get up and don't set the alarm. We don't set the alarm on Thursday morning. And it doesn't matter. We pretty much get up the same time, but it's still awful fun just to not have the alarm set. Amen. And so then we get coffee going, and we finally get up and around a little bit. And then it's time to take Cheryl to Terre Haute. And that's our weekly voyage, journey to Terre Haute. And we get breakfast. I'd rather eat breakfast than lunch anyway. I'd rather eat breakfast than supper most days. How many of you eat breakfast for lunch? You ever eat breakfast for supper? How many could eat breakfast three times a day? That'd be all right, amen. Come on now. There's enough on that breakfast menu. You start out with some French toast and some bacon. And then you can get an omelet and you get bacon with that also. And then you can get the scrambled eggs and hash browns and bacon. You got it. Amen. Bacon makes everything better and works better than breathing deep and wearing a superhero shirt. Bacon is the key to inner peace. So we're going through Walmart and she has her things and we're checking out, and this little girl sees us coming and she's the cashier, and she's getting ready to ring our things up. She keeps looking at me and my wife, and she says, I know you. And I thought, I don't know you. We get this a lot. You know, a kid will come one time to Vacation Bible School when they're 8, and then I see them when they're 32, and they're like, you don't remember me? I remember you. I'm like, and so I said, you remember her name? What was her name? So she said, do you remember me? Well, she forgot she was wearing a name tag. So she reaches down. I looked at her name tag and I said, you're so-and-so. And I called her name. I can't remember it now. And she looked at me and she was so impressed that I remembered her. And then I glanced down at her name tag and she went, okay, very funny. Yeah. I said, I don't remember you. I said, I'll bet you rode a red bus to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. She said, yeah, that's where I remember you. I said, how old were you? And she said, 12. I came for a year when she was 12 years of age. And she came from where did she say she got on here? In Jacksonville. Probably Brother Val was picking her up. I don't know. Somebody was. And she began to talk about Blessed Hope. She said this before we left. I said, well, what are you doing now? She said, I've got two little children of my own now. I'm thinking, and you think I'm going to remember you 12 years of age? And we started to go, and I said, you got to come back and visit us sometime. Please come back and see us. And she looked at me, and she said this. She looked at me so serious. She said, the happiest year of my life growing up was the year I was at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Amen. Amen. This is where you come to get peace, folks. This is where you come to get the peace of God. Now, you can quit coming, go to the bar, come back in a few months, tell me how that goes. Okay, you can still keep throwing your money down a rat's hole. I mean, one more prescription drug surely will put me over the top. You can come back to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You know how many young people I've seen talked to later on in life that said that very thing? I start asking kids that I run into that used to be here, I say, let me tell you something. When were the best years between you and God? When were they? Come on, this is the questions I want. When was the best years between when you were the closest to God? When was it? And the ones that will be honest will drop their eyes and say, when I was at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You know, folks, listen, you want to go out there and hang around a bunch of haters and scorners and all that stuff and just talk to yourself into anything you want to talk to. But if you'll be honest in your heart, kids grew up here, the best years of their life when it came to spirituality was when they sat in the pew of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You know what? You can go out there and put on whatever facade you want to put on and pretend whatever you want to pretend. But let me tell you what you don't have anymore. You don't have the peace of God. But you can get it back. You can get it back. Let me take you to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm having a good time. I hope you all are. Amen. Two more for those of you that are counting down to the finish line. Two more. Bible says, they that endureth to the end shall be saved. You're doing good, all right? So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look at verse 23. Look at this. I'm going to give you something that I hope will encourage you right now. You can have the peace of God because God understands you're a project. He understood that when he took us on. Look what it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace. I like that. Threw that word very in there. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Preacher, I don't even know what that's talking about. Well, that's why you came to church, so the preacher can help you understand it. Three things happen in your spiritual life. Salvation, that happens in a moment, in an instant. Sanctification, and then glorification. Glorification happens in a second, in a moment. You don't get saved over several years. There's this crazy teaching going around. You just can grow into being saved. You don't have to have an exact, Jesus said, except a man be born again. You have a time they wrote down on your chart when you were physically born. There was a moment that you got born again. You don't just become a Christian by osmosis. You come through new birth. There's a moment that you're saved, salvation. When you die or the rapture happens, there will be that moment when you experience glorification. You go back, you'll appear before the Lord, and you know what? You will be as he is. And then there's this whole in-between thing called life. And it's a process of sanctification, and it doesn't happen in a minute or in a moment. It happens a little bit over a lifetime. And you know what God says? I'll take that on. And by the way, when I take that on, I'm going to take it on under a specific title. And I'm not just going to call myself the God of peace here. I'm telling you, the very God of peace will be involved in the sanctification process. And his job is to change us into the image of his son, to get us ready for heaven, to make us more and more like Jesus. But it's going to be a lifetime process. And he's going to have to sanctify three areas, our spirit and our soul and our body. And you know what? He's going to work on it a little bit every day. And you know what? There's this process of sanctification that God says, I'll take on. And by the way, the God of peace is going to do it for you. The very God of peace is going to be the one that does this work in your life. You know what steals our peace? personal failure. Come on, we get up and we say, I want to be like Jesus, and I want to live for the Lord today, and I want to have a fresh start, and I want to do better in this area of my life. And you know what? The devil sets a trap, and we mess up, and we fail, and then he sits on our shoulder and say, you can't live the Christian life. Why don't you just give it up? And the God of peace said, hey, wait a minute. I knew this was going to be a process. Come on now. Listen, God's patient with you. Be patient with yourself. Come on, Christians. By the way, God's patient with your brother and sister, so why don't you show them a little patience too, okay? None of us have arrived. We're all on the same journey. We're all trying to be better. We're all trying to be more like Jesus. And the very God of peace says, hey, I'll take on the responsibility of this sanctification process. Because even in the midst of trying, we're going to fail. And that's where we're going to need the peace of God, where God comes along and says, listen, and by the way, we shouldn't try to fail. And we shouldn't hide behind this as an excuse to fail. But we're going to fail from time to time. And you know what? Failure steals that peace, and then God comes along. We bring that sin, that shortcoming before God, and we say, God, I am so sorry. And you know what the God of peace said? He said, hey, I knew you were going to be a project when I took you on. He understands the He understands the sanctification process. How many times have we had children's choirs stand before our church and sing, he's still working on me to make me what I need to be? It took him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be, because he's still working on me. I love the first verse. There really ought to be a sign upon my heart. Don't judge him now, there's an unfinished part. But I'll be better just according to his plan, fashioned by the Master's loving hand. You know the chorus? Sing it. He's still working on me to make me what I need to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be, because he's still working on me. Preacher, I can't make it. Yes, you can. Preacher, you don't understand. I came to the conclusion this week, I can't live the Christian life. No, you can't, but God can help you, and God can live it through you. Preacher, I've messed up. Then get up. Proverbs 24:16, for a just man, not a wicked man, a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. You know what that means? Wicked falls and just sits there and wallers in it. You know what? Listen, you're going to fall more than seven times. Come on. You're going to have good days. You're going to have bad days. You're going to have days at the end of the day that you think to yourself, I think I got to handle all this. And then the next day could be a disaster. And aren't you glad that every time you open your Bible, 1 John 1:9 has not evaporated out of the Bible. If God told us to forgive each other 70 times 70, I got to thinking the other day, God, how many times have you forgiven me? How many times have I come to you and you've always said, you're forgiven, you're clean? You know, folks, this whole life we live, aren't you glad God made it so it just comes to us one day at a time? You know, I like to look at a day as a microcosm of life, amen? Sun comes up, it's like being born, you know, travail in birth. Just to roll out of the covers. And that early morning, there's a spirit and an energy and excitement about it. And the process of the entire day is towards the end of the day, you grow weary. And then there's that time that you lay your head down on your pillow. And you know, if you think about it, every day is kind of a microcosm of life. And I don't know what this week was like, but I'm going to tell you this. No matter how bad or good it went, He's still signed up for the whole journey, and he hasn't given up on you, and he does love you, and he can help you. And when he took you on, he knew he was taking on a project, and he was willing to do it anyway. I'm so glad that God's a loving God. Preacher, well, if you really knew me and you knew all that was going on in my life, you knew some of the things I was even involved in right now, you'd be so shocked. No, I wouldn't. Look at me. No, I wouldn't. You know why? Because we're all made out of the same junk. My problems might not be your problems. Your problems may not be my problems. Your battles, your besetting sins may be different than mine, but I'm going to tell you what. This life's not easy. I want to just reach out to that one that maybe is here or maybe is listening. You know, this will go out and people will listen to it, but I want you to know something. You may have given up on yourself, but God's not given up on you. I mean, you know what? Every single day, he just comes fresh and new. And that Jeremiah that wrote that the mercies of God's new every morning. Amen. His compassion, his mercies are new every day. Hey, the preacher, yesterday was a disaster. Why aren't you glad Sunday's here? And you came to church. Hey, you came to church. That's good. You know what? You got a pretty good start so far. And the preacher. God put it on his heart to tell you that, hey, tomorrow can be better. This week can be better. It's been my joy through the years to be able to just go to people that have fallen and just be able to say to them, God hasn't quit on you. God loves you. Oh, but preacher, I'm ashamed to show my face in church. Don't be ashamed to show your face in church. Remember those people you run into them at on visitation that swear if they came to church that the church building would fall down? You ever heard that? Come on, I want to ask, have you ever said that? I think about half the people in the church might raise their hand. If I went to church, I said, let me tell you something. You got the right wrong view of church. Okay, come on. Church isn't a museum where a bunch of perfect people show up so we can sit around and admire each other's perfection. Waiting for someone who's less than perfect to come in so we can all go, that's not what church is. Church is a hospital where sick people come and get something that'll help them be a little better. Well, I couldn't show up to church. I'm a mess. That's like somebody who's sick going, well, I can't go to the doctor. I'm sick. That's kind of why you go to the doctor. I broke my leg. I can't go to the emergency room. What would they say about me? They'd probably say, look, somebody broke their leg. Put you on a gurney, take you in. You know what? Hospital's good at helping people get their legs fixed. Come on. There's people there that know how to help. And the devil's told everybody out there that maybe he's living a defeated life. You know what? You can't go to church. And the Holy Spirit's like, no, that's where you need to go. Let me show you the last verse. We'll be done. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. And this is for all of us, but I think especially maybe those that are in the latter stages of life. Maybe you feel like, preacher, I'm running my last lap. When I came to Hebrews chapter 13 and I read verse number 20, I said, thank you, Lord, for putting this in the Bible. Verse number 20, it says, now the God of peace, and then there's a comma, and then right after that comma, there's a statement. That brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus. You know what robs a lot of people of peace? Especially some of our elderly folks. And that's the fear of death. Isn't it interesting that God said, now I'm the God of peace. And by the way, just to remind you, let's look at my resume. Okay. The God of peace, comma, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ. And God reminds us, I'm the one that went down there and rolled that stone away, and I'm the one that brought my son back to life, and I'm the one that defeated death that day. And you know what? You don't have to worry about it because I've got that thing under control. And when the day of your death comes, let me tell you which God shows up. The God of peace. The God of peace. Woo! Isn't that something? You see, some people have lost their peace because the fear of death begins to rob us of peace. Maybe as a young person, you don't think a lot about this. More and more, I'm finding even young people sometimes get caught up in this cycle of thinking. But I want to tell you this, and we're done, but look right up here. Just by the nature of my calling, because of what God's called me to do, throughout the years, I've sat beside the bed and watched a lot of people, a lot of Christians, a lot of God's people slip off into heaven. Now, you may have in your life done that. Maybe you sat by a mom or a dad or grandma and grandpa and watched them slip into heaven. And several of you, I see you nod. You've been there. Some of you have never been there. Preacher, I've never been there. Some of you are saying, I don't want to be there. Let me tell you something. When it comes to God's people, it's amazing to watch the peace of God that comes into that room. Not just the peace that comes upon the person that's about to make the journey, but the peace of God that comes upon the family who's watching it happen. The God of all peace is there. He's there at the end. Say, preacher, why do you have this inner peace? Well, what's the worst thing that the devil can do? You know, somebody left a note on the pulpit when John R. Rice was preaching a revival meeting, and it said, if you come here tomorrow night and preach again, we'll kill you. So Brother Rice picked it up, read it out loud to everybody. Said, I don't know who you are, but you need to understand something. You can't scare me with heaven. Come on now. Come on. Preacher, I don't know what this year is going to hold. I just feel like my body's getting more and more frail, and I feel like maybe the... Let me tell you something. Watch this. Bible says when Lazarus died, Bible says the angels were there to accompany him into the presence of this, of at that time, the presence of Abraham, but one of these days, nowadays, in the presence of the Lord, to be absent from the bodies, be present with the Lord. You know, I'm not morbid. I don't have a death wish. You know, like most Christians, I'm not afraid of death, not really interested in getting on the next train, but you know, but if I had to, I'm ready. But if I had to, I'm ready. I've sat beside enough of those beds to understand that something supernatural and sweet begins to happen in the process of the body giving up the spirit. I often mention this, but you picture an old Stephen as they're stoning him to death. Think about a horrific way to die. Think about a horrific way to die. And while those stones are flying, I don't think he felt a thing. Come on. I don't think he felt a thing. He was looking up and he saw Jesus stand up, standing at the right hand of the Father. And while stones are beating the life out of his physical body, he says, hey, look. I should have brought it to the pulpit and I did. And I got a book about this thick entitled The Deathbeds of Saints and Sinners. First half of that book gives testimony to eyewitness accounts of people who watch people without Jesus Christ slip it out into eternity. I'm going to tell you something. Before, I'm talking back in the days before we had everybody so medicated we couldn't see what it was like. Second half of the book is testimonies about saints of God in those last few minutes as they begin to see this old world fall away. And that curtain that divides, all of a sudden it begins to become drawn and it's opened a bit. They're seeing still on earth, but they're getting a peek in and whoo. Hey folks, oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory? I tell our young people this, part of living is dying. Listen to what I said. Part of living is dying. Part of living is dying. As a Christian, we don't die, we fall asleep. It's what the Bible calls it. You know what? Don't let the devil come in and take the peace of God out of your heart that you've had all your life worried about something that I think when you get to the other side, you're going to look back and say, that's what I was worried about? That was kind of neat. That was okay. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll bless the preaching of your word. Lord, I thank you for the God of peace. I thank you that you are a God of peace. I pray that for that one that's doing what you did not intend anyone to do, and that's to try to live their lives without Jesus Christ as their Savior and without God as their Father. Everything changes in life when God becomes our Father. Everything changes in life when we're born again, when we get saved. It's amazing how many things that that bother the world just does not bother the Christian. It's amazing how many things that steal their peace of mind. The world can't touch ours. I pray for that one Christian who's been struggling a little bit. Maybe the devil's been tormenting them in one of these areas that we've talked about. And they've decided this morning, you know what, I have the God of peace as my Father. Somebody's going through a tough time, just needs the touch of God, the hand of God upon them. Lord, we pray that you'd bless and help us, Lord, in Jesus' name.